This is the day that the Lord has made. It is a joy to be with all of you on this second Sunday of Advent as we gather in the house of God or gather virtually to worship and to prepare the way for the coming of Christ into our world. We gather for worship on a day after there has been destruction and many storms in our area, and so we hold in prayer those who were affected by last night's storms, and we'll be continuing to pray for them today and throughout the rest of the week. I would invite all of you to take a moment to register your attendance with us today. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and we would love for you to sign in. If you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about this congregation and how you might get connected, please share a mailing address or an email address or phone number, and we will reach out to you in the days ahead. This is a beautiful and fulfilling season, and we have some special things happening today. In Reed Hall today, we have our Advent Ministry Market. Some of our ministry partners who have things to offer us that we might buy for gifts for our loved ones this season that go for a special cause. So we invite you to take a look at those things. Then tonight, we have our traditional service of candle lighting, which has been going on since at least 1940. There's a misprint in the bulletin. The service starts at 5:30. The handbells will begin playing at 5:15. And the parking lot fills up before that. So we hope that you will come and enjoy the space. If you're joining us online, it's beautiful and tender online as well. And our choirs will sing, our handbells will play, and we'll hear the scriptures from the prophets all the way through the birth of Christ. So we look forward to seeing you tonight at 5:30. On Christmas Eve, since Christmas Eve is a Sunday this year, just a word about our service times. We'll have one service in the morning at 10 a.m. That will be the fourth Sunday of Advent with Will McLean preaching. Then at 4 o'clock, we'll have a child-led worship service, which will be wonderful and celebratory. And then at 10:30 p.m., we will have a more traditional service with communion and preaching and choir at that time. There will also be communion at the 4 o'clock service as well. Finally, just a reminder for those who are members of the congregation, as you've been praying about your giving for next year, we look forward to receiving your estimates of giving. If you haven't turned those in, there are some available in the racks in the pews you can place in the offering plate. Or if you're worshiping online, you can go to the website /estimate now, and that will help our finance committee have a much more joyful Christmas season and will help all of us lean into the future that God is calling us to. Speaking of leaning into the future, we gather around the prophecy of Isaiah this morning to hear words of hope and peace in the coming of our God. So let us lean in and worship together.
We light the second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of God's peace coming into our world through Christ. Hear these words of the psalmist. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Faithful love and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the ground. Righteousness gazes down from heaven. Yes, the Lord gives what is good, and our land yields its produce. Righteousness walks before God. Let us gather along this way and abide in God's peace. The prophets of Advent continually remind of this ultimate truth. God is love. Even when we turn our backs on God, God never stops loving us. Even when we choose to live in the darkness, God's light never stops shining. With this assurance of grace, let us make our confession before God and each other. Comforting God, forgive us for the ways we have resisted the call of your prophets and so denied your way of justice and mercy in the world. By the power of your Holy Spirit, raise up the valleys of our hearts, make low the mountains of our pride, and pave a path in the patterns of our lives that we might make room for the coming of our Lord and so become Christ's instrument of peace. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Allie and Eric Schoen bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Allie and Eric, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. I think you're ready to answer these questions yourself, right? My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. And what name have you given your daughter?
Rainy Jean.
Rainy Jean. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives and works within you even now and every day of your life. I know, the water's a little cold and so are my hands. But we're going to move a little closer to Mommy and Daddy now. And all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, okay? Rainy Jean, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, let's see if a walk will help. Let's go up this way. We're going to take a little walk. Yeah. Just hold on to my microphone. There we go. There we go. You just want to look around. You just want to see your church family. So I guess I better walk backwards. Because there they are. All of your church family, or a lot of your church family, are here. A lot of your biological family's here, too. And they already love you. Look at that. Yes, they do. And in just a minute, they're going to make a promise to love you and show you how much God loves you and to teach you all the things about God and Jesus and the faith so you'll know for sure how much you're loved and you can share that good news with the world. I bet one of them's going to be a Sunday school teacher, a confirmation mentor, a youth counselor. There are so many ways they're going to love you. So let's listen as they make their promise to you.
Will the congregation please open your bulletins to the commendation and welcome, stand and face Rainey Jean. It is now our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Rainey Jean to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give
thanks for all that God has already given to you, Rainey Jean, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. As your Holy Spirit spoke to the prophets of old, speak to us now through your word, that by listening to your voice, we too will make a way for your joy to come into the world. Lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah 40, 1 through 11. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hands double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I say, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judea, here is your God. See the Lord, God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. The word of God for the people of God.
Here to come join me up front if you'd like. And if you're worshiping online, just get a little closer to your screens. And we'll have just a moment together. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad to see the sunshine, too. Are you? Yeah. Welcome, welcome. You can bring your parents with you if you like, or a friend. That's good. Wow, what a big group today. Come on up. Wow, coming down the center, coming down the other side. Oh, I'm so happy to see all of you all. Well, I wanted to tell you about, it's been over 10 years ago, I woke up one morning and my neck really, really hurt. And I found out that something had gone wrong and I needed surgery. And so I was in a good bit of pain. And But then someone came knocking on my door from my church, and they brought me one of these. Now, this is a prayer shawl. And there's a group from our church that meets once a week, and they knit and sew together, and they make these prayer shawls, and they pray for them and for whoever gets one of the prayer shawls. So when this happened to me and I got a prayer shawl, I just wrapped it around my shoulders, and I could feel, it felt like God was hugging me, and I could feel God's love with me, and I could feel all the prayers of my church family holding me. And I still had to have surgery, and I still dealt with some pain, but just knowing that God loved me and people were praying for me made such a huge difference. We get to hear this word in the Bible story that Margot read, the word comfort. And this is something I think of when I think of comfort. Or maybe for you, it's hugging a stuffed animal or giving a hug to someone or receiving a hug from someone who loves you. And God does that for us too. Especially when we're going through hard times, we can know that God is with us. Things can still be hard, but just knowing God loves us and holds us and other people are praying for us makes it so much better. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you are a God of comfort, that you hold us and you love us all the time. Especially when we're sad or going through something difficult, we can feel your love and your arms around us. Thank you for our church family that helps us feel that love too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you have something to give you comfort next time you need it. Thank you for listening. Now 3, 4, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church, and if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. I know some of you are hearing it. I know some of you are hearing it. That soft tenor voice. Not the soprano voice, but the tenor voice from Handel's Messiah that starts off the whole piece. Comfort ye. That's what it looks like. That's what comfort looks like. The scriptures say he will take you up in his arms and carry the sheep and comfort them. We know what it means to need comfort. I think there are some of our friends and neighbors this morning who are needing some comfort. I just had an email from 2 a.m. from this morning from one of our church members whose business was destroyed by the tornado last night. There are people who've lost loved ones, whose homes were destroyed, people in need of comfort. There are people in our community, across our world, in all the places we've been praying for, who need comfort. And that is what is offered to us in the first word of the 40th chapter of Isaiah. The prophet cries out a word of comfort to God's people because they deeply, deeply need it. They have been devastated. If you were here last week, you know this moment in Israel's history where they have been overrun by the Babylonian army. Jerusalem's been destroyed. The temple's been torn down. Their lives are in rubble. Some of their friends, neighbors, and loved ones have been dragged off into exile, and they've had a hard time seeing where God is. And so the prophet rises up from the rubble and says, "Comfort. Comfort my people," says the Lord. "Tell them that all of this is behind them now, and I am with them always." And this is an important word for us to hear in this season of Advent, in this moment in our world's history. Perhaps there are things going on in your own lives, carrying an extra load of grief this season, or walking through a time of difficulty in a relationship, or just being weighed down by the poverty and hunger and violence and destruction in our world. This may be a season when you need comfort. And so we take a moment to feel the prayer shawl around us, to feel the arms of God holding us. We feel what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit was to us a comforter. And I want to invite us throughout this season to pause and make sure we take time to rest in the comfort of God, to know that we're held and seen and loved. But of course, the prophet doesn't stop there with the people. He takes that moment to assure them of God's comfort, but then he calls out to them to prepare the way, to get a path ready, because God is coming anew. God is coming in a fresh way. And I can still hear that tenor voice singing from Handel's Messiah, announcing exactly what is coming. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places a plain. This reminds me of so many of the prophets' words and visions that we hear throughout the scriptures. We heard a couple of weeks ago in the 22nd chapter of Revelation this vision that of the river of life running through the city and the tree of life growing over that river and the 12 fruits for all the nations. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of all the nations, and all the nations shall gather and see the glory of the Lord. We'll hear echoes of this next week, again from the prophet Isaiah, as he announces, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to lift up the lowly, recovery of sight to the blind, setting free those who are oppressed." And in 2 weeks, Will will explore with us in worship the Magnificat of Mary, where she sings how God has brought down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things, and turned the rich away empty. We see this vision of the God who is coming to see all people as one. The great leveling that Jesus announces and preaches and teaches and lives out in the gospel. This day that is coming, a day of justice, a day of mercy, a day of right relationship with God and one another and creation and all things. So the prophet Isaiah in this text says, God comforts you, and now it's time for you to hear the good news that your God is coming and is making a way for all people and is moving all obstacles out of the way to get to you and to me and to all of us. So the question is, how do we prepare? How do we get ready? Well, the prophet says, in the desert, make a highway that is straight. In the wilderness, make a path. It's a recognition that we may still be feeling like we're in the desert. We may still be in a season of life that feels like wilderness, that feels empty, that feels like God is not with us. But even in a season such as this, we can prepare. We can do what we can to remove the obstacles in our own hearts and lives so that we can receive the good news of God's coming. We can do that in our prayers, in our reading of Scripture, in our living into this vision of God and doing what we can to make a way for others, to lift up the lowly and right-size the high, including ourselves. We can be looking for those steps we can take to receive the Christ who is coming. But it's not always easy to see it. The second candle of Advent is the candle of peace. And there is not peace in our world right now. In fact, there are some churches and congregations who are making a choice not to light the second candle of Advent this season. And I understand that. It's as a sign of solidarity with those who are not at peace right now in the Holy Land and Ukraine and other places across the world. And it may be a practice that you want to take on with your Advent wreath at home, not to light the second candle as a sign of the lack of peace in our world. But I feel, for my part at least, that it's more important than ever to light the candle of hope. It doesn't mean that peace has already been accomplished in our world. For thousands of years, there's never been a moment when all the world was at peace. What it means to me is that we are people of hope, that the first candle we light is a candle of hope. And in a world where there is no peace, we lift up the light of Christ and proclaim that Christ's peace is coming even now into the world. It has not yet been fully realized, but we look for it and we hope for it, and it is as close to us as our next breath. And we are called as the people of God to be people of the light. And so this Advent, as we light the second candle, or as we choose not to, may we be people who pray for peace, who work for peace, and who live into this vision the prophet puts before us, leaning into that day when all flesh shall see the glory of the Lord, because we believe the glory is coming. Thanks be to God.
We join together in reciting the affirmation of faith that's found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering plates as they're passed by. I also ask you to look at the prayer request in your bulletin and keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. As a community, this morning we grieve the loss of our church member, Lynn Herndon, who died on Friday, and we extend our sympathy to her family. Her funeral arrangements are pending, and it's already been lifted up. We're also mindful of our community and our neighbors who have endured great pain and suffering in the tragedy of the storms last night. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of comfort and peace, we give thanks for the ways you make yourself known to us, most especially in this season of Advent, for the tangible reminders of your presence, the coos and cries of babies, the laughter of children, the tenderness of friends, prayer shawls draped on our shoulders, a community rallying together in the aftermath of a storm. For all these things, we give you thanks. in the still places where we can exhale and release our struggles. Thank you for calming our anxious hearts. When this world feels like it's just too much, when it seems too hard to bear, go before us, God, and make the rough places smooth. Help us to be ever mindful that in your divine economy, valleys are lifted up and mountains are made low. And where our vain attempts and efforts may fail, your ways endure forever. Give rest this day to the weary and aid those who are in need. Comfort the hearts of those who grieve and give them peace. Cure us, your children, of our warring madness and our bent to chaos. Give us the courage of your prophets to be agents of change and peace. Bind us and ground us in the love and witness of your Son, Jesus, who gave us the words to pray, uniting our hearts and our voices as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous with us.
perhaps this is how we all leave this time of worship together, with the loving, comforting arms of God around us, and the candles of hope and peace, one in each hand, as we go forth to be peace builders and peacemakers with the promise that the Prince of Peace is coming. Amen.